Richards, and I work at CDC. I am now in the Global AIDS Program. I have a real strong interest in training of informaticians because one of the things that I'm experiencing now, working at an international level, is amazingly enough, the challenges are all the same challenges. And one of the things that I, when I kind of pulled everybody together to put this panel together, I really wanted to talk mostly about what are the issues and how can we overcome them? What are the issues in getting training out to people? What are the issues in identifying the people that need to be trained? And what are some of the issues of what actually do people need to be trained in? So I'm just going to sort of do a brief introduction, and then what I would like to do is open it up to discussion. I have some discussion questions that I would like to glean some information from you all. One of the things that we have been kind of asked to do is to do a short write-up on this presentation to go into the post-FIN newsletter and to talk a little bit about training in that way. So what we'd like to do is get your input into that article, and we will say it is from the presentation and not just from the panel members. Currently, there are some very interesting efforts that are going on in informatics training and competency efforts, and many of you have spoken to those. There's some curriculum efforts that are going on that I thought might be of interest to you, and there's also some courses that are being offered, some formalized courses that I think would be of interest, and I'd like to share that before we start the discussion. In competency efforts, there is, at the University of Washington, there's been two CDC-sponsored competency efforts that have occurred. The first one was by O'Carroll et al., and that's, you know, the cast of thousands, who looked at informatics competencies for public health professionals, looked at senior staff, management administration, and frontline staff, and have gone through a variety of different aspects of informatics that might be appropriate for those kinds of people. The second one, Karras et al., again, cast of thousands, quite a few people were involved in that, people sitting in this room. And these were competencies for public health informaticians. As you can see, there's a little bit of a different flavor. The competencies for public health informaticians looking are at senior informaticians and what we kind of called informatics specialist. Additionally, there are some competencies efforts that are going on through the Council on Linkages in core public health competencies. There are some informatics-related competencies that are woven into those. Those competencies were just finalized in June 11th of this year, and that is the URL if you would like to go and explore those into more detail. I have two curriculum efforts that are going on, but I actually recently found out about a third that I'd like to mention. First of all, the Public Health Informatics Institute was sponsored by CDC to look at putting together to facilitate the putting together an MPH informatics curricula, and that is just started and I think will be ongoing. Additionally, the Office of the National Coordinator of Health Information Technology this month had a meeting at Vanderbilt, August, I believe, 18th, 19th, where they are looking at competencies in informatics and public health informatics, the broader view of informatics with public health as a component of that. And the ONC website will have in a couple of weeks some information on that particular workshop and some of the findings. Additionally, AMIA is sponsored a Global Partners Program, and this is looking at taking informatics trainings and informatics competencies and looking at it in a broader spectrum in a global setting. And actually, because of the fact that another hat I'm wearing at this particular conference is a poster competition chair, there is a very well done poster on the Global Partners Program in the poster session. So I am not going to talk about that here, but if you're interested in learning more of what they're doing, there is a poster on it, and actually is very well done. There are some courses that are offered. This is sort of an ongoing area of interest to me. About every 6 months, I do a fairly extensive web search on what sorts of informatics training are being offered, especially in schools of public health and in informatics-related schools. And there are a couple of programs, actually more programs than used to be, that are offering both degrees, and I see a much more offerings and certificates and graduate certificates in both informatics and in public health informatics. So I'm very pleased to see that there are actually some certificate courses that are available out there. Additionally, as Laverne indicated, there are a lot more informal courses and workshops that are going on. AMIA is probably the most noted for their informatics workshops. HIMSS, which is another large conference, also has a great many informatics workshops. Also FIN, although I understand this year the enrollment at the FIN tutorials were fairly low, but we have great turnout in the sessions, so I'm very pleased to see that. As Bill alluded to, there are various AMIA-sponsored informatics training. These are all the 10 by 10 courses. There's University of Alabama, Birmingham, University of Cincinnati, University of Illinois, Chicago, University of Minnesota, Nova, Southeastern University, Oregon Health and Science University, Stanford University, and University of Utah. One of the things that I did is I went to each one of their websites as a novice learner and looked under the search engine or read through the sort of overview and focus of the 10 by 10 offerings. And again, this is not scientific. This is one person looking at it, but I think that it reflects pretty much on what the focus of the 10 by 10 offerings are in these programs. Birmingham is really more of what they call health informatics. It's a sort of a blend of clinical informatics and public health informatics. Cincinnati firmly declares themselves as clinical research informatics. That's the area of focus. The University of Illinois Chicago 10 by 10 program is predominantly focused in on the EHR. University of Minnesota focuses in on nursing informatics. Nova, Oregon is more health informatics. Actually, they're fairly similar programs. Stanford University really does have more genetics and bioinformatics related content in their course offering. And Utah is clearly the most public health informatics related of all of the 10 by 10. However, there's another way that you can look at this, and so I did, was I went out and did a fairly extensive search on informatics trainings at universities that are web-based. The jump off of my search was really from the AMIA website. They do have a fairly extensive website that indicates all of the training programs that have been reported to AMIA. One of the hazards I would tell you, though, is that a lot of the links are broken, so you have to go and do some Google searches and kind of work around. But as you can see, there are quite a few certificates, master's level as well as graduate certificates. Some programs actually called it a graduate certificate. Some of it called it just a certificate. I'm not quite sure the differentiation there. There is actually one university that offers what they call an IMPH, and that's Medical College of Georgia, and they have a public health informatics program. These are only trainings that are web-based. Okay, there are other training programs, but they are residency programs where you have to be at the institution. These were only looking at kind of following on what Laverne said, is sometimes the travel is very difficult for people to get away. So I predominantly put my search criteria around web-based. I also went to the ASPH website and did a you can look on ASPH, which is Association of Schools of Public Health website, and they can self-report what kinds of programs they have, and there's a little drop-down menu, and it goes everything from management and policy down to toxicology, if you will. And so they actually have a title that says informatics. So I was extremely curious to see what would come out of that. So I hit informatics, and these were the only institutions that came up from the ASPH website. Columbia University offers a master's in health informatics. Emory has a MS-PHI degree and a PHI certificate. Harvard, it was really interesting. They have informatics, but when I went to look at the School of Public Health, I couldn't find anything. There was only an indication, if I looked at their curriculum, that they actually had a connection back to the decision support medical informatics program that's also offered by Harvard. Johns Hopkins, they have under, it's interesting, if you do under informatics, it actually comes up under health policy. Loma Linda has a fairly extensive, and actually I was very surprised to see this, health geoinformatics program, and lots of spatial epidemiology offered through that one. And then the University of Washington School of Public Health has a bachelor's in health information and health information management. And then I'm always looking for free. As I tell people, free is my favorite four-letter F word. So I went out and I looked at the free web-based training, and actually there's quite a bit that's popping out there. Again, it is free, so you kind of get what you pay for. The National Network of Public Health Training has an extensive list of informatics-related training and public health training. Partners in Information Access for the Public Health Workforce really focuses in on public health training, but they do have a lot of data use sorts of training available. Michigan Informatics, I thought this was an interesting group. They also have information and computer use. It's really getting people familiar with information use. Public Health Training Network focuses in on public health, of course, again with some data use and some statistics. And then there is the Public Health Super Course from the University of Pittsburgh, and they also include some informatics and a lot of public health. So these are just some sorts of places that you might want to check out. So what I'd like to do in the remaining time that we have today is talk a little bit about training needs, training types, partners, and other, and how can we really kind of take this effort that J.A., Laverne, and Bill have been doing and move it to a next level. What would be some of the ways that we could innovate and move this whole idea forward? So one of the things that we're kind of interested in hearing from you is, what do you see as some of the informatics training needs at your health department? Do you see it, is it different from your different levels of staff? Because one of the things that we've done is we've looked at different competencies from different levels, but do we have different training needs? Do you feel that they need more training in the management staff or perhaps in the frontline staff? Or do you think it's all the same? I'll leave that open for anyone that would like to respond.
I think somewhat of a combination, because working in a local county health department with public health nurses, as we institute our focus system with demographics and making sure that they know to get the right information in and making sure it is as accurate as possible and not just taking shortcuts around. But with that, we also have an aging workforce in a lot of the counties I work in, and therefore they're scared of the computer. You know, that's the one thing that they're scared to even see it in the exam room.
So are you? So if you're saying, is it more of like a data management issue with the public health nurses, or is it just an awareness of the importance of data or data use?
In our state, we've reduced some of our administrative front people, and so the nursing staff has actually increased more data input than used to, they didn't have to. And so with that, when you've got a 60-year-old public health nurse that you know has had issues just sometimes checking the email, is actually going in there and updating shot records and doing some other stuff, it does cause some issue, and then no time to do the training. That's the other thing. Where do you put aside the time to do that type of training?
Okay. One of the things is, so there's a data input issue and a data quality, if you will, is really kind of the underlying the aspect of it. Has other people seem to have that same sort of issue? Is a data quality an issue for your agencies? Yeah. So if I'm hearing you correctly, then you're kind of saying something about they don't have an understanding of the bigger picture of the feed. There's no feedback to them as to why their data input is important to the bigger picture.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's actually feedback that we've gotten from our staff, and we've been trying to implement giving them the bigger picture and giving them the rationale, and it's led to some improvement in data quality as a result. But that's a difficult thing when you're working with limited resources and limited time.
Right. Okay. I'm not saying I have an answer. Sorry. Wish I had a magical answer, but because time is really important. But
It goes into infrastructure also, because a majority of our system runs on T1 lines and it's on a ring network internally. And so as you do you've got 20 people on that ring network at the same time on one server, it slows down. So frustration builds very easily with doing the data input and pulling data out. Demographics and so on and so forth. And so those build upon some of the workforce also. Mm-hmm.
Catherine? Yeah. Okay.
Should I'd like to follow up?
Yeah, please.
To follow up on Catherine's comment, there's a little bit of, Janice asked the question, which is more important, frontline or training informaticians? And I think it's really hard to say one is more important than the other. We need both. And to contrast the kind of training I was talking about with people who don't have any interest in becoming informaticians, but they need to learn to communicate. They need to understand what informatics is, what it can do for them, and how to communicate with people that are both informaticians and information technologists. And so I think really both kinds of training are necessary. You're not going to teach someone to be an informatician in a four-hour workshop, but you might be able to teach them how to spell informatics.
Mm-hmm. So, and you're kind of talking, if I'm hearing you right, Kevin, that there may be some need for some basic definitions, so everybody knows when you say the word business process analysis that they understand what that means, so that there can be a communication. Okay.
And the comment I made about David Jackson using stories, the storyboarding concept to get non-technical people to describe what they do and how they do it and what they need, there's a way of describing those in stories that can communicate to your informaticians and your programmers.
Does anybody have any answers?
I think as we've been working on some of the preliminary accreditation stuff and actually going into that, I think as that moves into our agency and the more that comes on of national accreditation and those competencies come in, the staff has to pick up on that. That's bringing the whole team and saying, okay, everybody is part of that. It's not just one person working on the project, it's everybody. And then you bring that in because, like, for example, in Oklahoma, we have the FOCUS system and it collects a lot of our data. a lot of people don't realize that, but we've been able to pull so much data. My administrators pulled so much data on performance of nursing staff to know which nursing staff is doing more and less. But it's been a transition for him to actually see that it's a tool.
So is the issue then people learning to use data and information for decision making?
Yes.
Okay.
So Denise, this brings up an interesting point. You talked about, and Denise asked a question about competencies, what competencies Bill uses in his program, and maybe Ann or Catherine could talk about the competencies that they use in their programs. But, and so it's important for us to pay attention to what work is being done to develop competencies for informaticians. But you're saying it's also important for us to look to this accreditation process to see what they're saying local health departments need to have to become accredited, what competency the whole agency needs to have in informatics to be able to become accredited, which is kind of looking at different documents a different way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I guess Jim.
You know, just a comment on your comment about focus on information. My whole mantra, you may know, you know, informatics is about information. It's not about technology. Technology is a necessary tool. You can't work with information without technology. But, you know, what we, you know, and in fact, I actually think one of the nicest things that's happened in the informatics field in the last couple of years is that we have, and I think this is not only medical informatics, public health informatics, maybe even bioinformatics, but, you know, I think there's been a professional identity that's emerged that, you know, we're not IT people. IT is important. I respect really good computer scientists, but I'm no more a computer scientist, you know, than I am a neurosurgeon or something like that. And I think it's really important for informatics to focus on the information and what people do with it. The goal of EHR adoption is not adoption, it's meaningful use. And you know, and I don't say that glibly, that's really what we should be aiming for.
Yeah.
Inherently, I'm not a public health person, I'm just learning. But my background is more from the clinical side, the applied side, and what I've worked. And what I don't see really reflected up there, and we've talked to people, people processing tools. And we've talked a little about people, and we've talked a little bit about tools and IT, but we haven't talked about the process. And having in place, you know, the measures, so after something gets entered, someone goes back and validates that entry and says, okay, this was entered correctly. I've been sitting down, you can get a case reference, and, well, you didn't do this correctly. correctly, we need to capture that, and seeing the bigger picture is really important. So I think the focus of how this applies into the organization, there's an organizational change component to this that often gets ignored, and in my experience, that's the best indicator of success or failure of the program is really how you address deploying this into the organizational culture.
You know, that's something I wanted to say in response to the very early comments about, you know, I was at the session this morning on global health, and Sherry Fuller was making some comments about, you know, in the developing world, you know, that people are entering all this information into these systems that they'll never see. And because they'll never see, they're completely disattached from the information and the quality of it. So, you know, at least in clinical settings now, I think, you know, with all the emphasis on quality measurements and so forth, you know, the information does feed back. So it provides some incentive, although there's still huge issues in clinical settings in terms of getting people to enter quality information, because I think doctors and nurses don't foremost think of themselves as data entry people, but even though we need their good data, you know, good quality data to do things.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think with the proliferation of EHRs, it's even going to become more so, because people will be using the data that they enter. According to my watch, we're right up against about the 5 o'clock time frame. I do have a couple other questions here. If you would like to stay on and kind of participate further in the discussion, that would be great. If you have another activity that you need to attend, I will certainly understand, and I would like to take a moment to thank you all for coming this afternoon and participating in our panel, and I'd like to thank my fellow panelists who are also participating as poster judges. So I managed to rope them into a couple of different things. So thank you all for everything. Yeah, you guys do. I don't. So I can stay. I don't have to be there till 5:30.
Oh, okay.
You guys have to go.
We have to go to work.
Yeah,
okay,
you have to go.
Judge.
Yeah, and I'll stay and talk with people. Okay. The other things that I'm kind of curious about is what kinds of training do you know, you were talking a little bit about the frontline staff, some of the issues that you see there. What kind, you know, what would be worthwhile for you? You know, Laverne talked a little bit about what's happening at the Utah Public Health Association and the Department of Health. Bill talked about the 10 by 10. And I sort of threw out some actual formal web-based courses and things like that. What seems to be working for you guys, though? Are there anything? And if they're not,
For example, I'm a stipend winner, so I actually got to come. I'm from a local county health department that actually got to come to this, and I will take these tools back because we just did the NHO accreditation process last year. Got a promising practice on the plan, and so we've applied for the next level in trying to do this, and so it's kind of my boss saw interest in my administrator. Honestly, is 74 years old, so he's
yeah.
been at the cusp of public
right.
health. You know, he's been at 45 years.
Yeah.
He's seen this coming down the road, so he's got a few of us that are staff oriented to do some of this stuff, but this is, you know, I've been interested in informatics, but this is really, now I've got some tools that I can take back. But we've got trained health educators out of a certain college I won't name that can't do a community health assessment. They can't do statistics. And I have my health administration degree, but I have a family relations, child development,
mm-hmm.
Social science background that gave me the tools to be able to do that. But I'm seeing people out of some colleges, public health coming out, that can't do that basic just community assessment.
Right. So just out of curiosity, if you feel comfortable with this, is you said you get a stipend to come here for some informatics training, and this is something that you're trying to build up. Where else have you gone? have, is, or is this your first step?
This is my first official conference. I mean, I've tried to teach as much as I can going through on learning on the internet and so on and so forth.
So just doing your own personal searches on things?
I'm also an Air Force public health officer.
So okay.
I have formal training with APHRAS and ESSENCE and epidemiology on that level. So
okay.
I have that end of it. But DOD systems working is completely separate of what civilian systems.
Right.
I mean, we've got the ideal system there. I mean, we're already at electronic health records. We're already at that.
Right.
Seeing how that applies, we're also working on a project in our Canadian County Health Department where we're doing a health access network. We're working with Dr. Mold out of OU College of Health Sciences, seeing how we can bring in a small community for Medicaid reimbursement an electronic health record system that these pediatricians will feel comfortable that if the individual can't get into their own medical base home, they can go across the street to Dr. So-and-so's office if there's an opening, and that doctor being able to pull up that health information and feel comfortable to make an assessment,
uh-huh,
and have to call the other doctor on the line. And so that's where, honestly, my interest is.
Okay.
I'm sorry if
No. Actually, because again, a lot of what I see is people say, this is what we should do. You know, I have an idea, this is what we should do. What I'm really trying to do is try and figure out, and kind of like what JA's initiative was, is what should we be doing? You know, I want to hear from others about, you know, what are their needs, what are the training types, because I personally would think that, you know, a web-based course would be a good place for people to start, but it may not be. I mean, maybe people find that the web-based access really isn't the way for it to go. So
orientation of web-based would be great, and enough to stem the interest to where that person will make a commitment, or those administration and managers will make that commitment to set up. Because believe me, we didn't even want to dabble into accreditation until we wrote a mini grant and actually started to look at it from a local health department standpoint.
I think campus is another rural nature in the state. I mean, when you talk about web-based, you always get the perspective of, you know, the connection might not be as good as, you know, in the urban settings or in the metro settings. So that's, so at least the trainings that I've seen is a combination of both. Depending on whether you're going to, you know, if it's the state health department, which is a combination of health and environment, that's an hour away from Kansas City. So
but
you can,
mm-hmm, work with the workforce.
Yeah.
As you've got the younger workforce coming in, no offense to the older workforce, they are wired that way. They are wired to do web-based training systems. Mm-hmm. But your older workforce, that you have to do the almost the brick and mortar to ensure that. And I'm a firm believer in brick and mortar myself, because I think you get more. I think sometimes you lose a lot from the web base, because granted, chatting is online is different than actual intellectual conversation. And sometimes when people write things, they can't confirm it correctly in a chat room, as to opposed to that one-on-one interaction with something drawn out on a diagram. So now this is what I'm really trying to get across. This
system. And some of it is just the infrastructure that might be, you know, available in the rural parts, depending on where they are. Because there was a project I was working on, and I had a volunteer from the western part of Kansas who was really interested in participating. But her DSL connection just couldn't make
hold
it happen.
Up.
You know, so that was part of the issue. And maybe if there was a venue that they could go to, like an AHEC, you know, area health education,
mm-hmm,
where they have those maybe a little more advanced technology versus depending on what might be in your home.
Right. And depending on what type of computer that
or in your health department, I'll say, yeah. You know,
see, I'm lucky enough, we come from a centralized system. The county health departments run off millage, and so we have this centralized system that is able to program level, and in the counties, the direct service level, but we're all armed and in the link, where a lot of public health systems are not that way, unfortunately. But there's some bad things about that too. I mean, there's some good things about the local
community. Yeah, well, and actually, you know, part of what I think in public health, our focus has always been, we don't have much money, how can we make it work? And you know, it's sort of like the same thing with the AHEC. I hadn't thought about an AHEC, but AHECs usually are fairly well funded generally. And so the resources might be there. Somebody was mentioning one of the things that in Texas, Texas A&M tried to connect up, since it's the agriculture and mechanism, I forgot what the M stands for, their school of public health connected up with the extension officers to do, you know, to try and get public health information out through those offices, which I thought was kind of an innovative way of using a resource that was already there. But so the AHEC is kind of an interesting concept. And you know, to me, those are the kinds of things that if we're really going to do it at the grassroots level, and I think that's going to be important, we're going to have to start thinking something more than just bringing people to FIN, to just straight web-based because of some of the technological issues. But we need lots of people thinking about this.